Greetings, friends, family, and partners. You're listening to the podcast Choices We Believe, and my name is Joe Watson. In this episode, I want to consider the implications of a life dedicated to truth and commitment to the kingdom of God. As you're probably aware, last Wednesday, September 10th, we, that is America, lost a truly American boy. One of our own, born and raised on American soil. Was he controversial? Yes. Was he conservative? Very much so. Was he a Christian? Absolutely. The assassination of Charlie Kirk is being called political by many. But the truth is that this heinous act of violence was and is evil against good, demonic against godly. Charlie Kirk was a martyr for the Christian faith. There are those who couldn't stand to hear his truth that he spoke. Many, many loved him and many hated him. And that grieves me more than anything else. Today, Charlie is with the one who he devoted his life to. He's celebrating with Jesus. He has entered into his eternal residence of heaven, or as some people might want to call it, the kingdom of God. When we talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, what are we really talking about? And so that's what this episode's going to be about, entering into the kingdom. First, I want to define, we got to know what we're talking about, so let's define kingdom, okay? The kingdom could be defined as a political organization or a politically organized country or territorial unit headed by a monarch, such as a king or a queen. It's also a sphere or area where something or someone holds preeminent position or has exclusive control. In a religious context, it could refer to the spiritual rule or domain of God. And I got these definitions, I just Googled it and the AI definition comes up. But from these, it could be fair to conclude that God's kingdom would be his sphere of influence or authority. Perhaps the kingdom of heaven is not a territory, but of influence on the hearts of those who put their trust and faith in God. Let's start. I want to look at a scripture found in the book of Romans, New Testament, chapter 14, verse 17. And it starts out with saying, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." For a moment, I want to look at the Greek word that's in here for the word kingdom. And I'm not even going to try. It's Greek, and let's see. I'm going to stab at it. It's basileia. Properly, according to the Greek definition here, translated to English properly, it's royalty or rule or a realm, literally or figuratively, a kingdom or a reign. In this definition, we can conclude that God's kingdom must be a realm of rule, reign, and royalty. Okay, so we're looking at that. Then, the verse goes on to tell us something that the kingdom is not. And it talks about food and drink, or King James says meat. So, food and drink is for our natural bodies, right? It is representative of what we can experience with our five senses. But then it goes on to tell us more about the kingdom, what it is or what it has. And it lists righteousness, peace, and joy are first and foremost in spiritual. It's spiritual and it leads to the physical. You see, we have to remember that the spirit realm is parent to the natural realm or the worldly realm or physical realm. And all of this that we see, hear, experience with our five senses came from the spiritual realm. Okay? So, we know that through the Bible, we find out that our righteousness comes through our faith in Christ and His completed work. Okay? Well, that righteousness brings into our souls peace with God, and a fruit of that peace then is our joy. Next, let us answer where the kingdom of God is. Where is it? We've already seen just in this one verse, in a matter of speaking, where it is, that's the hearts of people. It's in the hearts of people. It's found that our hearts are transformed by the presence of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. So how is the kingdom, how is the king of this kingdom identified? So if it's a kingdom, then it has to have a king. I'm sure you probably have an answer or an idea about an answer, but let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Who's this talking about? Okay, this is the Magi. This is back to the Nativity, the birth of Christ, and these Magi are looking for him. And so they go to Herod, you know, once they get to Israel, they go to Herod and they say, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Okay, this is the Magi coming from the east who knew who he was, but they did not know where he was. So they're looking, they know they're looking for the king, but they don't know where to look. Okay, so that is a location that they're looking for, a place. If we look down further in Matthew 27:11, this is Jesus speaking at his trial. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Well, Jesus responds, you know, he said unto him, "You say," and Jesus is standing before Pilate and turns that question back to him. "You have said it, or have you said this of your own accord?" So Jesus never told him that he wasn't a king. Okay? Jesus is king of this kingdom that we're talking about. In fact, of the business, he's more than the king. He's the door to this kingdom. Let's flip over to the book of John. John chapter 10. A lot of people are familiar with John chapter 10 because it's got some verses in it that are readily memorized. But I want to look at verse 9. John 10:9 says, "I am the door." Again, Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter it, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." So Jesus himself said he's the door to the kingdom. He's identifying himself. Flip over a couple more chapters here. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him. Okay, who's the him? Him is Thomas. Thomas is not knowing with the way. Jesus is telling him he's going to leave and that they could follow later on. And Thomas says he doesn't know the way or how to get there. And Jesus says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes and to the Father except by me." So Jesus identified himself as the way and the door. But then how do we get into the kingdom? So we've identified the way to go by going through Jesus. So how do we do that? I'm back on Mr. Thomas. Let's back up a verse, John 14:6. Or rather, back up to verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" But Jesus answers this in multiple ways. If you stay in John 14, just go down to verse 12, and Jesus says, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly," or whatever your translation happens to say, Jesus says, "I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Okay, what we want to highlight here is he that believes on me. Mm-hmm. He that believes in Jesus will do what Jesus did, and then follow Jesus into eternity. Where is Jesus right now? At the right hand of the Father, of course. Okay? Then we look at Ephesians 1:20 to continue to add to this. I'm kind of building a puzzle picture here. And it says, which he wrought in Christ, talking about God, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay? When Jesus walked on this earth as a man, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And we have some verses that will guide us in this. We know that John the Baptist came before Christ, and he was saying, telling the people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay? But what happened to John? You know, Herod didn't like what he was saying. John was telling the truth, and John told him he shouldn't have the wife that he had because it was his brother. And what happens to John the Baptist, we see in Mark 1:14-15, it says, now after that, after John made a statement, the king was mad at him, said, put him in prison. And it says, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Okay. Most people will see that word repent and take this verse and say they need to repent of their sins. But if you keep it in context, what was Jesus talking about? Same thing John the Baptist was talking about, the kingdom of God. Why would they need to repent? What is this they're repenting from? If it's not sin, what is it? Well, the Jews were under Roman oppression and were looking for their Messiah. And they had already decided, you know, they set their expectations that their Messiah would overthrow the Romans and reestablish Israel as the kingdom, preeminent, dominant kingdom. So they wanted this Messiah to be like, you know, a champion, the greatest soldier, general, king, deliverer that they had ever seen to put them back into power. But Jesus wasn't here to do that, was he? Jesus came to do something greater, establish a kingdom that was far beyond their imaginations. And it was his mission to get them to think differently about that message of the kingdom. He was telling them to change their minds about this kingdom. It's not earthly. It's much grander, much larger. So what priority should our seeking the kingdom be? Let's look at a couple more verses and see if we can figure it out. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus is talking, and this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, Jesus speaking, says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, we're not going to go back and list all the stuff that Jesus was talking about, so let's just go with what things that he might be talking about. And to put it in a nutshell, he's talking about the things that will be added to you is everything that you need to live on planet Earth. Your food, your clothes, your shelter, your job, your family. He says to seek first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is God's realm of influence, which takes place in the heart of people who yield themselves through faith to their Creator God in the name of Jesus Christ. We can all enter the kingdom right now if you want to. And we don't have to wait for some by and by thing in the sky, you know, going on. We see right here in these few verses that Jesus is the door. And he's also the king. And faith in him assures us to be with him and all those who have gone before us, including Charlie Kirk. We must remember this. The spirit world is still parent to the natural world, and your world can be transformed into the spirit realm. We don't want to be getting saved and stuck. We don't want to be standing in the doorway all of our lives, coming to Jesus, but never getting past just the salvation. Jesus said he came for us to have life and have it abundantly. And Charlie's having an abundant life now. Unfortunately, the violence that caused that is something that's going to be hard for many people to get past. And we especially pray for his family, his wife and kids, that they might be comforted and lifted up. Mourning is real. Tears are real. But like I said a minute ago, we don't want to get stuck there. We have to move forward. We have to see how God can take this and do something great and mighty. Make good out of this tragedy. I didn't know Charlie, but I really respected what he did and the purpose that he strived to complete and to bring young people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the truth. Thank you for listening. My name is Joe Watson. I've chosen to believe every word that I said. Thank you.